Everything you do is live. I don't know if anyone got a chance to look at the color picker I put on the source page website. So now we can, you know, we can turn it blue or yellow.
Oh, you're doing colors here? I'm looking at it right now. Oh wow, you can, it's a full range of colors.
Yeah, well, there we go. See, we can do all sorts of funny things.
Infinite range.
Whoa, yep. I've seen, I couldn't decide what I liked, so. You don't play with that on the website itself. Okay. That's what I do for fun. Do things on the computer. But the actual parsha, I'm going to talk about the second, it's a double parsha. The second one is Maaseh, which starts with the Masa'o. This is the journeys of Bnei Yisrael. It's a long list. 42, Sukkim, starts off, source one, Ela Maaseh Bnei Yisrael, Asher Yatzum, Mitzeres Mitzrayim. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, as they left Egypt with Tzivotam in all their hosts, Biad Moshe Aaron, and the leadership of Moshe and Aaron. Vechtob Moshe et Motzehem u'Maseihem. And Moshe wrote down everywhere they left according to their journeys, al pi Hashem, according to God's word. Ela Maseihem u'Maseihem, and this is where their journeys to where they left. Vayisumei Ramses, Bechor HaShishon, they left Ramses, which is in Egypt, that's the, was the center of the Jewish community in Egypt. On the 15th day of Nisan, that's Pesach. We all know that. Merchada Pesach, the day after they brought the Korban Pesach, Yatzu Bnei Israel Biad Ramah. The Bnei Israel left hands up, upright. They Nekol Mitzrayim in front of the eyes of all of Egypt. And if you think about it, that second pasuk is a little bit hard to understand, right? Vayechtov Moshe Motzehem Maseihem. Moshe wrote down all of their travels. Why did the Torah need to tell us that? We know that Moshe wrote down the Torah. The whole thing it says he wrote down the Torah. That's in Source 2 at the end of Devarim. That Moshe wrote down the entire words of the Torah and then and he gave it to the Levim to put next to the Aron. Moshe writes down the Torah. What is the Torah telling us here? Vachtov Moshe Motzehem, and the answer seems to be in the timing, that this is not the writing of the Torah. This is within the narrative. Bnei Yisrael have all come here after 40 years in the wilderness. They have come to Arvot Moav, the desert out of Moav, just on the other side of Jordan from Yericho. They're camped there, and at that point, Moshe writes down not the whole Torah, but just the journeys. This long list of where they went to, where they came from, where they went to. That's about a month before the end of the Torah when he actually writes everything down together. So Moshe's got this list, he's writing this all down, and he writes it back, Tov Moshe, Motzehem, Maseihem, Al Pi Hashem. He writes them all down according to the word of God. Now what does that mean? Al Pi Hashem. What does it refer to?
Moshe didn't have a GPS, so he really wasn't sure where he was.
Ah, okay. Well, he could tell that. He could tell you the name of the place. He couldn't tell you where the place was.
How does he know the name of the place? It's in the desert. It's just a
This was an oasis here or a spot, and they called it that. The spot we're here right now, we're going to call Ritmah, if there wasn't already a name for it.
Who told them that? The locals? The slaves in Egypt didn't know where things were.
How did people have maps before they had GPS? I mean, they are, cartography is possible, right?
Cartography is possible, but I don't know when they were in a rush to leave and their matzah was, you know, cooking on their backs. They didn't stop and say, oh, we better get a road map. No, we'll just wait till we get to the first gas station.
Maybe it was, and they wrote down. What's the name of the gas station? Okay, Exxon on Route 40. I'm not terribly worried about the names here.
Right.
But they are there. The question is, what does the Al Pi Hashem mean, though? Is it, so Ibn Ezra says Al Pi Hashem refers to the journey, right? Vachtov Moshe et Motzehem u'Maseihem Al Pi Hashem, that Moshe wrote down the entire journey that they did according to what God said. They went according to God, what God said. That's Ibn Ezra, source 3. Al Pi Hashem, Vavegim u'Maseihem, refers to Maseihem. Ramban disagrees. Says, no, the Al Pi Hashem refers to the Vachtov Moshe. Moshe wrote down their journey because God told him to write down the journey. That's Ramban, source 4. Al Pi Hashem, it says that. Davek im Vechtov Moshe. It's connected to the writing. Look at the Rei Rabbi Avraham, not like the Ibn Ezra says, Shemar Shu Davekim Lamasehem. He said it's, Al Pi Hashem refers to the journeys. Shekvar Hodein is there. We already know that they were going there on, according to God's command. It says, Al Pi Hashem Yachnu, Al Pi Hashem Yisau. This is a Kiddush that this list had to be written down now. And that's going to be the focus. We're going to look at, take it as Ramban's point of view. Why is it necessary to write this list down now? Right, he's got to tell us. Not these are the, they're not Elamase, this is a journey, but Bechtov Moshe. This is an important list. You should know about this list of all the places they went. And even if Vicky Ariel doesn't necessarily believe it, they knew where they were when they were going. Right? Here are the list of name places. You can go back and visit them now.
They're writing it down because Moshe is going to die in a few weeks, and they all know that. He's not going any of them.
Right. So that's what I want to talk about. What's the writing down in the list? And the Netziv in this says, yep, I agree with the Rambam, but I have no idea why. Verse 5. Yechtav al-pi Hashem. It's written down, word of God. Le'edze taklit ne'la mimenu. For some reason, that's completely beyond me. It's completely hidden from me, from us. Yigalela et keitz m'era menu, and Mashiach Hashem, Eliyahu will come, and that's the first question I'm going to ask him. Mashiach comes, why was this written down? That's the Netziv. Rashi, much earlier, though, does have answers. Why is this necessarily written down? In fact, Rashi has two answers. That's a long Rashi. Look at this Rashi here, source 6. Lama nichtavu amasot ha'elu. Why write down these journeys? Lodia chasidav shel makom. To let us know about Hashem's mercy. Why? Apal pi shegazar lehem v'taltalim v'haniyam v'bamidbar. That even though Hashem decreed that they're going to have to wander around, be picked up and shaken up throughout this whole wilderness, right? They're going to have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Lo tomar, you shouldn't say, shayu na'imu tutalim mimasa l'masa kol arbim shana. You shouldn't think that they were always on the move for 40 years. It's not what happened. Lo hayta lehem nucha, and they never got a chance to rest. Tarei ein kan, el arbi mushtayim masa. Because you look, there's a total of 42 stops in 40 years. Now take out 14 of those. Because it was 14 stops from leaving Egypt in the list to Har Sinai, and then from Har Sinai to Kadesh, where they sent the Meraglim out. That was all within the first year, from Pesach year one to Tisha B'Av of year two, first year in a couple months. Kodem Gezerah. From the time they left Egypt and Ramses, Ashabola, Ritma is where they sent the Meraglim out. We know that. But Othot say Misham, Shmonam Asar, and you should also subtract the last eight. So you look Achar Mitat Aaron, that was after Aaron dies, and he dies in I think we have that, it's like an ER of the last year. And after that, there's another eight stops, and they end up in Arba Moab. Behor Ahar, that's where Aaron dies. Arba Moab, Bishnat Arbim. Those are the last couple of months. Nimsa Shekosh Mona Vushloshim Shana. So you can see that for 38 years of their traveling, of the actual wandering the wilderness, Lo Nasu Elar Esri Masot. They only went through a total of 20 stops. So they stayed an average of 2 years at each stop. It wasn't overnight. They actually, I mean, you got enough time to settle in, establish a small town there. That Rashi says, that's Chassidat Hashem. That's Hashem's Chassid. They didn't make them constantly. They could settle for a while. 2 years, they would have been in college. That's not such a short time. That's not such a short time to be living. That's a reasonable time to learn. Zem Yisidosha Rabbi Moshe Darshan. This is an explanation from Moshe Darshan, one of the commentators that Rashi likes to quote. That's explanation one. Tell us Hashem's Chassid. Explanation two. Rabbi Tanchuma Darash Bo Darasha Acheret. The Midrash Tanchuma has a different answer. It's a mashal. I'll give you a mashal. Mashal la melech, the king. So my kids love saying, you're going to see, it's a king. That's how you know it's a parable in Midrashic terms. Always about king. Mashal la melech, shayla benochola. Someone who had a sick son. Well, lichol mokom rachok l'rafatel. And it brought him to a faraway place to heal him. Kibet shayu chozrim, as they were coming back, at the end of the journey, the father would go through all the list of all the places that they went. They would That's how they remembered what they went through. They would go through a list. Amarlo kanya shananu, here we were sleeping. Kana karno, here we were really cold. Kana chachashu et rashecha, chashash et rashecha, here you had that terrible headache, v'chule, etc. So that's the reason that you just, and that's normal what you do after a long journey is go through the details of the journey. What my family does is immediately go to Snapfish or a photo site and make the photo book of all the pictures that we took on the trip. That's what you normally do after a long journey. So Rashi has two answers. The Rambam actually kind of goes in the direction of Rashi's first, that we need to know about the chesed of Hashem. And he puts it a little bit differently, that the chesed is in the name of the police places. Because Rambam would say that these are identifiable places. Some of them are. We got a pretty good sense of where Kadesh is, that's south of Be'er Sheva. We know where Etzion Geber is, that's the modern Eilat. Okay, so we know, and you know, Midbar Tzin is halfway up the Arava. We know where these places are and what they look like. This is the way the Ramban quotes the Rambam. Hosif HaRav, Mor Nevuchim. Rambam adds in Mor Nevuchim, To'elet b'idatam, there's a purpose for telling us all these names and all these places, this huge list. Lomar, Hutzurich Laskira Masim. We need to know the need for knowing about all this journey is Gadol Mod, it's great. We really need to know. And you see about Totanasot, it's all the miracles that happen. Ayu Amitot Lachorayam. If you were living there, you knew there was a miracle. Getting man every morning was a miracle. Akba Atid Yudvarim Bishmoa Vyachizim Hashemaya. But in the future, you would just be hearing about it from someone who heard about it, from someone who heard about it, and people might not believe what happened. Amdat Yisrael b'Midbar Abim Shana, Mitziyot HaMan b'Chol Yom, and the fact that Bnei Yisrael were in the desert for years, and they had the man every day, v'Hei Mekmot Rechokot Miyashuv, and there are places far from civilization, and Tiviyot L'Miyadam, and people couldn't normally live in such a place. Amrat Torah, and the Torah says, Lechem Ochal Tem, Yayim Shechar L'Shitem, you didn't have bread, you didn't have wine. These are all these things were miracles. And when Hashem realized that next generations wouldn't necessarily believe it was such a great miracle. Not that they would doubt the word of the Torah per se, but they wouldn't say it wasn't such a big deal. The fact they were wandering in the wilderness. And they would think that Bnei Israel were in the wilderness. But they stay close to civilization. They stay close to towns. Place where there are people. Like Arabia, where the Arabs in the day the Rambam would live. Rambam would be living. Or places that they actually had crops there. Or other plants they could live off of. Where there were wells there. You might believe that they were that wandered through the wilderness, but not that it was such a miracle that they survived. And therefore, to keep you from thinking that, and to make emphasize how great these miracles were, that's why we mentioned the places. So everyone should be able to know where these places were. And you realize that it was a miracle they could survive in such a desolate place for 40 years. That's the Rambam. Again, the list is there so we know about the chesed of Hashem. So Rashi's first reason is to teach us about Hashem's chesed. The second is to simply review the list for the people there. And the question then is, why does Rashi bring two answers? Usually Rashi brings two answers because neither of them are very good. And they're not quite weak. But here I think the answer is because he's answering two different questions. There's one question. Why does Moshe write them down now in the narrative? Right? Why do Bnei Yisrael, who are sitting there about to enter Eretz Yisrael, why do they need this list of places? The second question is, why do we need to have a list of places? Why write down the Torah that he wrote all these down? And the terms we use here are from back before they had Star Wars fans, they had Sherlock Holmes fans, 150 years ago. And you can look at the stories of Sherlock Holmes. from two points of view, which they're called Watsonian Doyleist. Arthur Conan Doyle wrote the stories. And we can look at them and try to figure out why these were written this way, what the details mean. Or you could be within the universe of the story, where the stories are written as though they're written by Sherlock Holmes' friend, Dr. Watson. And I try to explain what's going on within the context of the stories. We have two different ways of looking at it, Watsonian and Doyleist, either within the universe of the narrative or from the point of view of the author. And that's what Rashi's two answers are. There's one question within the universe of Tanakh, of the story that's being presented to us, why write down this list? And the other question is, for us, we're reading it now, why bother telling us that the list was written down? And then giving us this whole list here. What do I do with these names? Because I don't know, as I know where these places are and what they mean. That's Rashi's two questions. The first one that tells us Hashem Chesed is for us, the reader, much later. The second answer, which tells us, okay, we're reviewing the journey, that's for Bnei Israel at the time. That's what Rashi means by that. And that answer, he's giving this list because he knows that Moshe knows that next parsha, as soon as he writes this down, he's going to give everybody to copy this list. He's going to start giving his speeches of Sefer Devarim. He's going to go through this long historical overview of the history of Bnei Israel up to this point, how they spent those 40 years. Here's the things that happened to you. Here's all the things that you did wrong. This is the words that Moshe told Bnei Israel. He talks about Mul Sup and Paran and Tophel. He talked, and these are not place names, these are concepts. He talks about Yam Suf and Paran and Tophel, Levan Chesroti Zahav, Korev, Harseir, all these things, as Rashi says, Shen Divrei Tochachot. Munakan Kol Makamot Sheikh Isu Lifne Makobaham. Moshe is going to give them a historical review to rebuke them. These are the things you did wrong. These are the places where you made Hashem angry. So this document here is the outline of the speech. This is a source page, right? Moshe is going to talk and everyone gets to get their copy of the outline. This is the history of what you've gone through, and Moshe is going to go through that list and talk about all these places. And that understanding that explains why there are some details in our parsha and some that not at all. If you look at our parsha, it goes through all these names, and every once in a while it gives you a detail right here. That's the journey. They went from Mara and they went to Elim. And in Elim there were 12 wells, and 70 palm trees. Is that important? I don't know. That's told in Shemot, but we have the detail here. And then they go from Alush to Rifidim. That's the journey. And then in Rifidim, there was no water, and that's when Moshe hits the stone with the rock the first time, and that was a good thing. And then they go from Rifidim and they go to Sinai. And they go from Sinai to Kibbutz HaTava. And did anything important happen in Sinai? Right, it's completely left out, right? The whole Mamar HaSinai. But that's really why, because Moshe is going to talk about that. He's going to talk about Mamar HaSinai, he's talk about Yam Suf, he's going to talk about setting the Meraglim. So that's not in the written list. The written outline is the stuff he's not going to talk. It has the details he's not going to talk about. The list of all the journeys, and then the details that are not in Sefer Devarim are the details that are in here. That's the reason why Bnei Israel are going to have this list now. The question then is, why give it to us? Why write this down for us? And that's Rashi's first answer. It's to tell us the chesed of Hashem during this whole journey, that Hashem made us wander, but still supported us, fed us, all these great miracles happened. And this, from the point of view, I'm going to, that we needed to know that, because that's true even now, that this journey from Egypt to Eretz Israel, this 40 years in the wilderness, becomes symbolic of all of our journeys, of all of Bnei Israel, all the Galut, all of our lives. And that's really, it's the Hasidic approach of the Chasfas Emes, because I'm a lapsed gearer, so I always have to quote the Chasfas Emes, in the Chasfas Emes, source 12. Ila ma'aseh, she'yatsu me'Eretz Israel. Hashem says that, okay, all these journeys start from Yetziat Mitzrayim, lo diya to us. No, kamo Yetziat Mitzrayim ha'agula l'dorot, that leaving Egypt is a symbol for all future redemption. In kol masot halalu, ayu hachana l'chol dorot, that all these, this journey, this idea of, and the idea of a journey of one place to another is the example, the paradigm for all future generations. That Hashem will keep us safe in all these dangerous places. Every journey represented a different struggle. There's something new to be accomplished in all these 42 places. And this is all for the necessary for us lower later generations. And all of us have to struggle these all different ways. And this list tells us that Hashem will support us in all these ways. Because there are always struggles with Jews. And we need to hope to get out of from each journey. And we go from one to the next struggle. That's what life is. Never easy until the very final end. It's one, leave one place, you end up in another place, and that's a whole nother struggle. We leave, and it's only to go on another journey. And the journey is to another place that we need to leave from. And that's the Sfas Emes. This way, Rabbi left at the Torah.org site, summarized it. Our liberation from Egypt was not a one-shot process, and that's the in which, once and for all, we move to a higher stage of development in relationship with Hashem. Andres Fas Emes finds it relevant to observe that every journey took us further, evidently, escape from the tomb of Egypt had to be gradual and value small steps. And that's true of all our development. And that's part of that lesson of the Masehem for us, that we need to go. It's always one step at a time, and that's what life is. You can't expect everything to happen all at once. And the Sfas Emes continues. Pasuk Ela Masei, it goes from Motseihem, Masehem, and Masehem, and Motseihem. They go out to where their journey is, and they journey to where they're going out of. Ne Adam Nikra Malech. Human beings are called Malech. We develop. That's in contrast to angels, which are called Omdim. They just stay put. Trip Tamil Lelech Madrigal Madrigal Cheret. It's always going from one level to another. Everything in life is going on a journey.
I would say you go two steps forward, one step back.
It feels that way too, and that happens here as well. If you go through the list, there's a point where they go backwards.
Not according to Sfas Emes, he's describing it as a gradual but continuing direction.
I suspect the Sfas Emes would agree that some of your steps will be backwards, and we'll have to deal with that. I mean, I guess the goal is to keep going forward, but it's not necessarily the case. I know that. And then I will conclude with something from Sholem Rizkin from a couple of years ago. He's Rabbi at Lincoln Square, Rabbi at Efrat now, Rabbi Rizkin, who has another question. Try to understand this phrase here when it says, "Vaisu mimotzeihem lemasehem." They go from where they left on their journey, which makes sense. And then it goes, then it says, Masehem Umotsehem. They went on a journey from where they left. They didn't go on a journey from where they left. They went on a journey from where they left. What does this Masehem Umotsehem mean? So he says, you know what it means? That was their mindset. When they're going on this journey, they were traveling to the places that they had left. They were going back home. The mindset of this whole journey was of going back from the places that they had left from, that they had come down to Egypt 200 years before that, and now they were going back. Not literally, because it's definitely a different route. Yaakov goes down to Egypt, Beersheba, and then straight to Egypt, and Israel went all the way the long way around. And the first Egyptian exile, when Avraham, when he goes to Israel, he's faced with a famine, he immediately goes to Egypt, Sarah ends up being taken by Paro, then he comes back. And it says, when Avram goes back, source 15, Avram Mitzrayim, Avram came back from Egypt, and He went back with Sarah and with Lot and everyone through the Negev. Avram kaved ma'od b'miknei kesef zahav, and Avram now had much wealth. Again, this becomes a paradigm. Maaseh avot simul labanim. This is a paradigm for what would happen with Bnei Israel later. Yelech l'masav, and he went back to his journey. Minega beit el on makom asher yasham alob retchila, to the place where he come back beforehand. And Rashi makes the point. Verse 16. Kishachazim mitzrayim le'eretz Kanan. Hayaholech b'lan b'chsaniot shalom b'hem. He went back and made a point of staying in the same inns, the same oases that he had gone down to. He was reversing the journey. He was going back. His masehem was lemutzehem. And so too, Bnei Israel were at least in their mindset thinking the same thing. That they were going back to where they came from. This wasn't going to a new land. This is going back home. Rabbi Riskin continues that that's our mindset now.
You think Rabbi Shlomo Riskin is a Zionist?
That sounds pretty Zionist, doesn't it? That sounds pretty good. Yeah, you can listen to it. You can there's a link there to the his video where he gives a share. He makes his point in the Torah Lights book as well. This is Rabbeinu Bachya on this idea, this parsha. Verse 17. Oh, yeah, and this telling us the story of this journey has another purpose. It's a hint for the future. That's us. That the Nevi'im all make it clear that the final redemption will be like the original one. That Yetzia Mitzrayim is the paradigm for all future Gula. Mitzrayim Amidbar, so just like this. And Israel went from Egypt into the wilderness, came. I have to answer that. Oh. Hey there. Sorry, I am going to doing the shiur at the same time.
Oh, you can watch me. I just called. I didn't realize you were all on that. I just called to see if I can take the body.
We're all on this. My brother over here is going to join us. You mute me over here.
Hi, are you getting the shear now?
Yes, we got a shear going on right now. You can join us.
And are you also talking to mommy?
I am not.
You're upside down.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to go back.
Wait, I want to figure out how to be upside down. Like, just now you're sideways. Oh, hi, Manny.
Okay. So too, in the final redemption, we're going to end up traveling through the wilderness. I don't know if St. Louis counts as wilderness or not, but try to find a kosher restaurant. I think it counts. It's easier to find kosher food in the wilderness in the Negev than it would be here. Anyway, they'll have to go through all these places. And Hashem will support them. That's us. Yalem Shem Kmosha Asai Yisrael Ben Bar. Hashem will lead us as just like in the wilderness. Bachatuv Yirmoz Ze, and the pasuk hints that Yimash Yizkir Kan Shdei Pa'amim L'Shom Motzayhem. It says twice. The first time is Motzehem L'Masayhem, and the second is Masayhem L'Motzehem. Right. Bachtom Hashem Motzehem. Bachazar Mar L'Masayhem Motzehem. This kind of going back and forth, and then the last one is Masayhem L'Motzehem. The journeys to where they came from. One is the Bnei Israel leaving Egypt, and the other is leaving this incredibly strong, incredibly intense galut that we live in now. And Hashem should speedily hasten things. We should be redeemed soon. And we will all be joyous. I will end with this quote from Shai Agnon that kind of makes this point. Shai Agnon received the Nobel Prize for Literature. He was asked about his birthplace. To the interviewer's surprise, he answered he was born in Jerusalem. The interviewer pointed out that everyone knew he had been born in Bushkash, a town in Galicia. Agnon corrected him. I was born in Yerushalayim more than 3,000 years ago. That was my beginning, my origin. Bushkash in Galicia was only one of the stopping off points. And that's the message for all of us. that we are all on this Masem Lamasehem. We're on this journey, go back to where we came from. And that's the lesson of the beginning of the Parshat Masa. And that's why we needed to see that and read that in the beginning of this Parsha. Have a good Shabbos. We hope, here's Hashem. We will have a Fleishik Tisha B'Av next week. And again, this is Lili Nishmas, my father, Meir Ben David Azriel.